Meanwhile...
You must be dead, honey. You've been driving all night. What time is it?
Almost 4:30. Almost dawn. We should be home in another hour.
This man's name is Martin Gordon. The lovely girl beside him is Brett, his bride of 2 wonderful weeks. It's late August. They're returning from their honeymoon to their home in quiet, peaceful Angel County, California. Martin's Uncle Ben is sheriff of Angel County, and Martin is his senior deputy. Martin has high hopes of succeeding his uncle when Ben retires. But for now, Martin has only the thoughts, emotions, and pride of a very happy newly married young man. Brett is his, and he feels no man could ask for more. And now, without warning, their honeymoon is to become a nightmare.
The creeping terror! Part of our Halloween Spooktacular 2015! Robert and Alan Siliphant. Directed, produced, and edited by A.J. Nelson. With musical accompaniment by Frederick Kopp. Narrated by Larry Burrell. Part of our Halloween Spooktacular 2015! And now... On with the show!
WTBC Radio in beautiful anywhere!
Halloween Spooktacular 2015! I know, I'm just saying, if you would give me a signal of some kind, tell me we are on the... Oh, we... Hey, group! All right! Welcome back to another exciting WTBC broadcast of our annual Halloween Spooktacular 2000! You get the idea. Yeah, you know, it goes on and on and on. But we are excited today because we've got... The Creeping Terror! Yeah, you got less excited once you knew the name, that's right. But just because it's one of the worst things you've ever seen doesn't mean we're not going to have fun today. No. That's right, we're going to bring you The Creeping Terror along with all sorts of beautiful music meant to give you that special deep-down feeling that only Halloween can actually truly get rid of. Since we're several weeks away, we're going to enjoy all sorts of cool tunes and weird voiceovers by some hired radio DJ or something. Yeah, this one's pretty bad. It made an appearance on Mystery Science Theater 3000, so you know what kind of a movie it is. Not to mention, Wikipedia actually lists it as one of the worst films of all time. But... that doesn't mean you won't enjoy it. In fact, it means you might actually get a kick out of some of the corny dialogue, and let's face it, it's all over the place on this stinker, let me tell you. Anyway, Creeping Terror from 1964. We're getting a little groovy this week, so sit back. It's going to be a sci-fi monster thriller, and if, for some reason, you hear a creature oozing in the night... my suggestion is walk slowly in the other direction. It won't catch you. The Creeping Terror here on WTBC in beautiful anywhere. Now, get on with it. Come on. What do you think? I'm here doing voiceovers all day long? Gosh, what's wrong with you?
Neither Martin nor Brad saw the glowing rocket descend in the early morning skies. It was reported to the sheriff's office by Jeff, the county forest ranger. Jeff reported to Sheriff Ben that a plane had crashed near Willow Creek and that he was going out to investigate. Ben said he would join him as soon as possible. Barney, Ben's junior deputy, was to summon medical aid and to see if he could rouse someone at the Air Authority in San Francisco.
Crashers! Everybody do the crashers! Come on, girl! Crashers! I wanna see your crashers! Crashers! Everybody do the crashers! Come on, girl!
Down the road a couple of miles. I'm going to be a little short-handed until help gets here. Go around back of me. Come along, both of you.
Smiling Detroit City. The junkie lies on his belly dead.
Of the crash, they discovered Jeff's truck, but Jeff himself was not around. They proceeded with their investigation. the rocket in utter amazement.
I'm going on a trip far away. I am leaving today. I am leaving today. Rocket trip.
A puzzled Ben finally asked Martin what he made of the trip.
Rocket trip.
It's no airplane.
Could be one of our missiles.
I'm ready to go.
Or one of theirs.
9, 8, 7.
You could be right, honey.
6, 5,
I don't think we have anything this big.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Ben could not understand why the craft wasn't severely damaged.
This hat belongs to Jeff Peters. Jeff! Jeff! Jeff, are you in there? Martin, go back to my car and get my flashlight.
Ben, don't go in there. You don't know what's in there.
I think I hear him moving inside. Maybe he's hurt.
Ben, please don't. Car 1, calling in. Car 1, calling in.
The sergeant reported seeing an amazingly large creature in the aft section of the strange craft. Further reported that it was secured by a kind of metal harness, but that the creature could still move around somewhat, and for that reason they had not gotten too close to it. There was no trace of either Ben or Jack. The colonel ordered continuous guard duty around the spaceship and decided to set up a temporary military headquarters at the sheriff's office in town. By the next day, Colonel Caldwell had the situation well in hand. He had called Washington and received his orders from the highest possible authority. He was to maintain tight security and to await the arrival of a Dr. Bradford, who had been on assignment at the Jodrell Bank Radio Observatory in England. Upon arrival, Bradford was to take complete charge of the operation. He was the world's leading authority on space emissions, and had worked out a series of systems that might lead to communication with other forms of life, when, as, and if they were contacted. Martin was outraged by the government's intellectual approach to a monster that had already killed and caused the disappearance of his two close friends. Caldwell tended to agree with him, but stated he had to follow his orders. One of those orders was to suppress the news of the death of Ben and Jeff. Martin was appointed temporary sheriff, a and all news intended for public consumption was to emanate from his office. The Air Authority issued a cover-up story that a plane had crashed and burned, and this was to suffice until the experts cleared up the mystery of the visitor from outer space. In a remote section of the county, the first of a series of tragedies took place. Tragedies that would have been avoided had the public been warned.
This is out of our range! This is out of our range! This is out of our range! No! This is getting to me! This is getting to me! This is getting to me! I'm a negative grave! I'm a negative grave! I'm a negative grave! And I'm stoned!
Later that day, while they were awaiting the arrival of Dr. Bradford, Martin instructed Barney, on advice from Colonel Caldwell, to plant in the local papers the news that Ben and Jeff had taken off on a fishing trip to British Columbia. The Colonel had impressed the bereaved family with the necessity of maintaining secrecy, and these brave relatives had agreed. Despite Brett's inquiries about what Martin had seen in the spacecraft, he avoided specific details for fear of disturbing her more than she was. If the truth were known, Martin was more than a little disturbed himself. Shortly thereafter, Dr. Bradford arrived. He was a much younger man than one would imagine him to be.
It's gonna be a silence now.
I'd like for you to meet Dr. Bradford.
I've heard a lot about you from the colonel.
And nothing bad, I trust.
Martin and his wife were in the original party that found the fallen craft.
I was sorry to hear about your uncle. Tough break. I hope you're feeling better.
Yes, thank you. A couple hours of sleep in the world is good.
Bradford thanked the colonel for his assistance and then asked to speak to Martin. Bradford questioned Martin about everything that had transpired. Martin did his best to recall everything in precise detail, but really didn't have much for him. The two soldiers that entered the rocket earlier had been summoned, and Bradford hoped to learn more from them. The doctor himself would not enter the rocket until the arrival of certain equipment. From his discussion, it was apparent that the doctor considered this situation a magnificent opportunity for mankind. He felt that if he could communicate with the creature, it might be possible to advance human knowledge by years or even centuries. The spaceship alone signified an intellectual development far in advance of anything on Earth. When Martin asked him how he intended to protect himself from the creature, Bradford said not to worry, that he hadn't come here to be victimized either by his own or the creature's fear.
Best love you can buy won't touch you this time. One day this dirty stool pigeon will fly.
What do you have, Barney? How about a bourbon and seven? Coming up.
Drifting apart.
Well, there's a creep in the cellar that I'm gonna let in. And he eats in the alley and keeps track of my sins. When he starts talking backwards, your head starts to spin. And it really freaks me out when he peels off his skin. Yeah!
Barney, naturally, was still dating all the girls in town. He couldn't understand why Brett and Martin didn't pal around with him more than they did.
Well, there's a creep in the cellar.
couldn't comprehend that married life brought with it not only new problems and duties, but the necessary togetherness of husband and wife as well. Despite Brett's most tactful considerations, such as inviting him over to dinner quite often, Barney was growing resentful of her, or at least she felt that he was. Since time began, this change in relationship has probably happened to all buddies in similar circumstances. Life has its way of making boys grow up, and with marriage, Martin's time had come. His life was now Brett, a life that he thoroughly enjoyed. The next morning, Betty Johnson, as usual, blew a goodbye kiss to her husband, but for the last time.
Poor baby. Let Mommy take your temperature. Poor baby. You'll feel better soon.
Within 48 hours, Dr. Bradford had closely examined the creature and the spaceship and reached a number of conclusions. He was sure the creature had come from beyond our solar system because it adapted to our environment so quickly, and no planet or dead star near us has conditions similar to the Earth. Of special interest to him was the hull of the ship. It was composed of an alloy unlike anything human science had ever encountered. The doctor had run a number of tests on the metal, but its molecular structure remained a mystery.
WTBC.
What's this called? Ultra blog. At what's this called? .net. Streaming and download links. Playlists. Podcasting information. What's this called? Saturdays, noon, Pacific time. KPSU.org. What's this called? Ultra blog.
What's this called? .net.
Hi, I'm Marla.
And I'm Cody.
And we are the Capital Couple.
We like to talk about things that we do in the town that we live here in Salem, Oregon.
And the adventures we try to get on in a town meant for families when
Indeed.
It's just the two of us.
And we have no children. So we go to farmers markets, the library, local restaurants and shops that sell things.
Parks and weird history places that exist in our town. Come and join our adventures.
The Capital Couple.
I had something fun to say after that, but now I can't remember it.
You can find us at thecapitalcouple.wordpress.com.
WTBC. Anyone, from our house to yours.
Because there was no food on board, Bradford presumed the creature had been in a state of suspended animation, particularly because it had survived the trials of re-entry and impact without apparent harm. So far, he had no success in communicating with it, but he had not yet exhausted all possibilities. On a more subjective basis, he had the curious feeling that the creature did not want to communicate with him. Such a confession on the part of this eminent scientist made Martin feel quite apprehensive. While on a routine call to pick up instructions from Colonel Caldwell, Martin received an urgent message from Barney. Barney was at Willow Creek. He had responded to a phone call from a frantic Mrs. Brown. Her husband and grandson had gone fishing and were long overdue. Barney was instructed to organize a search party locally and to report the results to Martin. Because of security regulations, he was not to come near the area of the spacecraft. Martin said he would join Barney later if he could. Acting on a hunch, Martin decided to see for himself if the monster was still there. It was. Bradford had installed TV cameras inside the spaceship and was testing the creature's reactions to sound, light, electricity, color, and air pressure. When Martin asked him if he had any luck in communicating with the beast, Bradford confessed that he hadn't, but would try again when certain data was returned to him from computer processing. It was at this time that Bradford came up with a frightening theory. Namely, that the creature might be a product of engineering, the same engineering that built the spaceship. What is hidden under was why some form of communication had not been built into the creature. When Martin asked him if this weren't something to worry about, Bradford said no. Probably his own failing at not being able to establish communication. It seemed to Martin that if Bradford's theory were correct, humanity might be in grave danger. Bradford dismissed Martin's fears by pointing out that the creature was not exhibiting any signs of violence. It was firmly secured by the harness. That afternoon in Moncrief Park, a group of neighbors got together for a hoot.
What is it?
You stay there. Stay calm.
response to a multiple missing persons report, Martin and Barney searched the countryside for the group of picnickers. The only trace they found of them was the remains of a guitar one of them carried. This wholesale disappearance of a large group of people, coupled with earlier missing persons reports, led Martin to only one conclusion. There must be another monster, and it was on the loose. The Colonel listened to Martin's theory, and after consulting with Bradford, decided to call Washington. Follow his own good judgment, but under no circumstances was he to alarm the populace. The Colonel decided to organize a countywide search. Martin's assignment was to search the north end of the county. While Martin and Brett were engaged by the search, the monster was moving toward the community dance hall. While Martin and Brett were taking a break from the search, a call came through which confirmed Martin's theory. Colonel Caldwell told them of the monster's attack at the dance hall. Troops now had orders to destroy the monster, and he asked for Martin's assistance. Martin said he would join the Colonel as quickly as possible. The monster next appeared in Lover's Lane. Anyone who experienced that catastrophe and survived would never go there again.
I've had enough of that guy.
When Martin's party arrived and offered to help, the Colonel told them enough lives were being endangered. They were to be part of the second line of defense, to be used only if necessary. sergeant, a shaken man, returned babbling about what had happened. Caldwell, realizing the full danger of the situation, decided he had only one means left to stop the monsters, grenades. Now Bradford made a drastic move. Acting on his superior authority, he forbade Caldwell to destroy the creature. Tried to help the doctor, but there was no time. Bradford told Martin what he had just confirmed. That these monsters were highly specialized test animals. They were, in fact, mobile laboratories that consumed human beings in order to analyze them chemically, undoubtedly to detect weaknesses in the human species. He told Martin that the information fed into a computer in the spacecraft. Further, he added, now that both monsters were dead, the computer would activate a transmitter to send the results into outer space. Martin knew what he had to do. Martin entered the spaceship. He heard the transmitter generator kick on. The super tough alloys of the spacecraft were not even dented by Martin's hammering. Colonel, more concerned with saving human lives than advancing science, told Bradford to go to hell.
Get out of my way. Where's he going in such a hurry?
If you don't ditch, lying ditch, you better beware. Better so sorry if you're going to hell.
Maybe you'd better follow it. He may need help.
It's a clock. Push us about. He'll be not far. Just gonna walk into the pit. Well.
Go ahead, Mark. I'll stay with him. Get out of my way! Where's he going in such a hurry?
Maybe you'd better follow
him.
You may need help.
The explosion loosened the harness on the monster and allowed it to escape. As the transmitter stopped, Martin felt sick.
Break this spell. I know I'm gonna be for a lot of trouble. I can tell. Cause they gave you more than the girl should have. You're feeling so good. I never felt so bad.
Gotta get away.
Gotta get away.
I wanna be free.
Evidently, all the information had been transmitted. On Martin's return, he confessed his failure.
It's gonna take more than a doctor to ease this pain. I know I better make up my mind to split, baby, or I go insane. Cause I'm getting addicted to your brand of love. I'm getting so weak, I better hurry up.
Got it.
He slowly asked Bradford what was in store for humanity. Bradford was pessimistic, but implied that maybe all was not lost. After all, he told them, the vastness of the universe is incredible. These monsters had come from its outer limits. Their home might even no longer exist. Or if they do come again, perhaps man will have advanced enough to cope with them and those who made them. Only God knows for sure were Bradford's last words to anyone on this earth.
Yeah, can you believe it? The Creeping Terror is as bad as recommended. Ho, 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 ho. It's a snoozer, let me tell you. There's lots of funny stories about the film. I urge you to check out the blog. There's going to be all sorts of fun stuff up there, including a complete playlist. But let me tell you right now, you heard music by The Agenda, The Punks, The Dead Milkmen, Guive, Nirvana, The Dead Sea, Phantomos, The Butthole Surfers, Eric Hausman, The Dickies, Frankie Stein and His Ghouls, Bob Lumen, The Ventures, The Bomboras, Les Baxter, Railbirds, The Blues Magoos, and coming up next, my close personal friend, Quintron! He's gonna bring it all home for us. Yes. WTBC Radio bringing you Austin's annual Halloween Spooktacular 2015! Tune in next week. We're gonna have a whole bunch more crap for you. Let me tell you, it's gonna be fantastic. Right now, I got to crawl back into my coffin as I creep in terror from this terrible movie! Alright, I'm done. I'm over. It's stupid anyways. Be seeing you!
Thank you.